So where do you spend most of your time? Thinking about the past? Dreaming about the future? Or in the present where Jesus is? Where do you spend most of your time? I've really enjoyed this journey with John Ortberg and his book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. I hope that you've not only enjoyed it, I hope that your life has been changed by it. I hope that at least parts of your life have been changed by this teaching series. You've had the luxury of hearing different perspectives on this book as well, with Paul Dirks preaching about a childlike faith on Youth Sunday and Cliff Soppy preaching about hope from despair last Sunday. We've walked through the story in Matthew 14 from the disciples' fear of the storm and Jesus inviting Peter out onto the water, out of the boat onto the water. Peter getting out, walking on water for a short while, sinking, and Jesus saving him. And finally, they get in the boat, the wind stops, and the disciples worship Jesus. And today we're going to focus on the end of the story as we come to the end of this teaching series. Matthew tells us that when they got out of the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now let's think about this for just a minute, just to remind you if you've been here and to let you catch up if you haven't. It began, if you remember right, with Jesus wanting to be alone to pray, which is really nothing new in the life of the disciples. He sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee to the next stop on their journey. The disciples thought nothing of it. After all, they've been in a boat most of their lives, and so it was really no big deal. But then a storm blew in. It became dark, and as a matter of fact, Scripture tells us that by the time Jesus comes walking toward them, it was sometime after 3 in the morning. And Matthew says the boat was battered by waves. Take a moment to let that sink in this morning. They were exhausted, maybe even defeated by this storm. And they see this image walking across the water. I mean, they are so tired and defeated, they're afraid of dying. And now, because they are terrified of the storm, and now they see this ghost. Now, you have to think about it. These folks, again, being raised on the water, their experience was really working against them at this point. Because they knew that most likely they wouldn't see the sunrise. The way the sea was treating them, they knew from their experience they probably would not see tomorrow. And then they see this ghost in their minds, walking across the water. And Peter calls out to this ghost, right? And Jesus tells Peter to come to him on the water. Now Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water for a brief stint, begins to sink. And Jesus saves him. They get back in the boat. The wind ceases. And the disciples worship Jesus. I want to ask you a question this morning. A question that I believe is directly related to how you live your life. And that question is this: how big is your God? You see, I believe that the way we live is a consequence of the size of our God. So, this morning, how big is your God? The longer I am pastor and the more I think about this, the more I am convinced that the problem many of us has is the fact that our God is too small. Our God is too small. We are not convinced that we are absolutely safe in the hands of a fully competent, all-knowing, ever-present God. We are not convinced. Oh, we sing about it. We do the lip service, right? But whenever it comes time to taking that step out of the boat,